listening to the Nerds Assemble podcast.
Episode 266 of the Nerds Assemble podcast. I'm Emily.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Paul, aka Retroid.
This episode, we are going to discuss, well, basically the situation regarding PlayStation 5 versus Xbox Series X. Whether or not anyone on this podcast is at all remotely interested in buying either of those, or in what is increasingly looking like the obvious reality, maybe the next major graphics-hungry console we buy in this household is kind of PC-orientated. Or, in fact, actually just a PC. You know.
Yeah, that'll be quite close to a PC, then.
Yeah, just put it out there. So, like, Paul and I watched, well, live, technically, the PlayStation 5 kind of, like, what would you call it? Their like weird E3 video thing that they did, because obviously there's no E3 this year because pandemic.
Their presentation.
Their launch presentation, or sort of like pre-launch presentation, whatever. We watched that earlier in the month.
Yeah.
Suitably, actually underwhelmed. Despite people memeing up the delightful aesthetic of the PlayStation 5 into various things, including the Eye of Sauron. I want to point out that the actual sort of like that top end of that thing reminds me a lot of certain intimate toys for women that I have seen on various websites. Just put it there. Literally, maybe.
Yeah, you obviously mean you like pink laptops and that kind
of thing. Yeah, I mean, some of these things are definitely pink, but they're definitely not laptops.
PlayStation 5 now with extra rumble.
Perhaps. I mean, unless that's what they're hoping to do with the controllers.
Mm.
But yeah, so were we this unexcited about the announcement shit for like PS4 and Xbox One? I feel like we weren't.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think I've really been particularly excited about PlayStation or Xbox in a while, mostly because what they generally tend to provide in these kind of things is mostly specs and a lot of games that I don't necessarily, you know, care for, especially when they're sequels. And
well, there wasn't any seemingly like jaw-breaking exclusives going on. Like, I've got a nice comparison guide up here from Tom's Guide, and we'll link to it in the show notes. And they're like key exclusives, PS5. Spider-Man Miles Morales, which I'm still confused over as to whether or not it's an expansion or not.
I think it's kind of, it's like a new version of the game with an expansion, I think.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, you know, you can walk in and you can buy it for your PS5 if you buy an actual physical copy and not just like a card.
Okay.
But I was gonna say, unlike with like Nintendo's you know, announcements and whatnot, they've usually got like some sort of feature or something that they're trying to do differently. And the big thing about like the PS5 that I kind of saw on the presentation was that it was gonna do ray tracing, and it's like, that's all very well and good. I mean, I understand that, you know, ray tracing will make things look, you know, spectacular. But by the same token, it's not the big innovation that, you know, you kind of expected. Especially as, you know, obviously computers and PCs can already do ray tracing.
Yeah. I mean, as an old bastard, my first thought with ray tracing is, ooh, I can render some, like, metal-looking balls on a checkerboard pattern room. And it will take all night to do a single picture.
I mean, the whole ray tracing thing reminded me of the fact that I don't really care about graphics that much. It's how something plays. And there was, now which game was it where they were kind of boasting a bit that, oh, like, no load times they were trying to show? Was it the Ratchet and Clank game they were trying to show that off with? Anyway, other key exclusives for PS5 include stuff like the new, the sequel to Horizon Zero Dawn, so Horizon 2, Forbidden West, and your usual kind of Gran Turismo with Gran Turismo 7. Meanwhile, Xbox Series X currently has Halo Infinite, Sununu's Saga, Hellblade 2, kind of down. And it's just like, okay. And not much was made in the PS5 presentation about backwards compatibility. However, details further came out and have been out about that, which is like stuff like, oh, almost all PS4 games, but then when you dig a little deeper, it's like, oh, well, we're going to go by like the top 100 games first. It's not automatic. Like, they're going to be slowly releasing stuff that will enable it to happen. Whereas then you go on the Xbox Series X, and like, all the Xbox One games, and select Xbox 360 and original Xbox games.
I mean, I presume it's going to be, like, download as well, so you won't be able to stick in your PS4 disc.
Unsure.
I mean, it might be a little bit weird. Like, on Xbone, where if I pop in my original copy of Conker's Bad Fur Day, reloaded, you know, which I have on Xbox, if I pop that disc in, then it will say, oh, download a patch, and it's because it's not a patch, it's more or less a recompiled, you know, entirely new version of the game.
Joy.
So it may be like that, but from what I know of, you know, both consoles, they're looking at, you know, like, hardware, although, you know, Microsoft seems to have gone, you know, harder on this. Although I don't know whether that's, you know, like, harder, you know, with the hardware, or harder as in selling it. But, yeah, they're pretty much saying that on, at least on, you know, the Xbox stuff, it will just, you know, you pop in a disc, it will run native. And it will run better because it's, you know, it's higher spec. So I think it would be a bit weird if the PS5 doesn't.
It will be a bit weird. I still think it's a bit sad that the backwards compatibility doesn't go as far as what Xbox have kind of gone for, though. And to be fair, that was kind of like the issue with the PS4, is that it kind of ignored that entire market. But I'm like, look, so I've got, so there, I've got Tom's guide
I will say, to be fair to, you know, Sony on this, so did Microsoft.
This is true.
And until, I think as more a selling point rather than anything, and a, you know, please stay with us, we will give you a reason to stay with us, which I always said, I said at the launch of the, you know, PS4 and, you know, the Xbox One, that it was a bad idea if you're wanting to, you know, have loyalty. It's a bad idea to make sure that none of your previous titles work. Because it gives people an excuse. If they see something which is a better product, and they know that most of the games that they're going to play are going to, you know, come on this other format, they can just jump, which is what happened with a lot of friends of mine.
Mm.
I knew most people were gaming on 360s, a few on PS3s. But when the generation jump started, there wasn't a reason for them to stay around. So they saw a better spec machine at a lower price, and they bought PS4s.
Yeah.
So you can't fault them for that.
And I'm looking at the spec list here, and if we ignore exclusivity, backwards compatibility, they are very similar machines.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the CPU is almost exactly the same, where the PS5 is an 8-core 3.5 GHz AMD Zen 2, Xbox Series X has got 3.8 GHz, GPU, okay, a little bit more different, so the PS5's got a 10.3 teraflop AMD RDNA 2, Xbox Series X apparently has a 12.0 teraflop AMD RDNA 2 GPU. They've got the same amount of RAM, 16GB GDDR6. However, the storage is different, with the PS5 supposedly having a 825GB custom SSD, whereas the Xbox Series X has a 1TB custom NVMe SSD. What's happening to that with that lack of memory for the PS5? I don't know. apparently they've both got the same resolution, which is up to 8K, same frame rate of up to 120 frames per second, and both have an optical disc drive, except for obviously one assumes the disc-free option, which is a 4K UHD Blu-ray. So
yeah,
they're both very, very similar machines. And those exclusives, I'm not a huge Ratchet and Clank fan, so that's not going to do anything
to say,
for me.
Yeah, I got quite bored of them by the time was it they got to 3 on PS2?
Probably.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
I think I might have the PS3 version somewhere, but it was still, yeah. It didn't feel right. I can't be bothered.
But
I got bored of it, which is bad, and that was generations ago. Now, oh god, generations.
Don't think about it. Just don't.
It's what I do most of the time. Good at that film's not old. Oh god. Oh god, the people talking about it weren't born. Oh god.
Considering though that those hardware similarities, I feel like the price point's not going to be that different between the two.
And not just the price point, but the way they approach doing it. There were rumors a while ago. I don't know if Microsoft ever did this, but there were rumors of them kind of doing an either pay-as-you-go or a rental or a you-buy-it-gradually thing. Mm. So, you know, you pay, you know, X, you know, tens of dollars per month, and it's a little bit like a phone. You know, you buy the contract, and by the time that's finished, you own the machine, I think. So there were rumors that Microsoft were going to do it, and I have a feeling if they're going to do it, they're going to do it with the release of the Series X. And yeah, and we've already seen that there's going to be a discless version of the, you know, the PS5. So it's just weighing up how much cheaper they're going to do that for.
But at this point, I feel like this cheapness discussion is like, it's almost pointless. At this point, people, if they want to do like ridiculous graphics gaming, I say ridiculous graphics, have some control over the graphics and then decide whether or not they just want more game selection with backwards compatibility available to them, or if they just want a console that eats up more space whilst they may or may not have backwards compatibility for the games they care about.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, would people be better off getting a PC at this point? Because I think the price point for these two, some people predict, because they haven't been released, someone on one site that we were looking at before we started the episode, I think it's PC Games, and they were saying maybe the price point for the PS5 is going to be something around $499. I mean, that's without sales tax as well. Mind you, US sales tax, I think the highest I've seen any state have it is maybe around 10%. Yeah. But still, I think it's going to be more than that. I think we're looking at least, in terms of US money, I think it's going to be at least $550. And I think in the UK, we're going to be looking at a price point that's well over $600, or £600.
I'm going to be looking at a price point which will make me think, should I buy an SSD for my PC? That's going to be the price point I'll be looking at.
Yeah.
And he's like, whoa, how much? No, I don't think so.
This exclusive situation is like, and it's not even like there's any of the games that weren't not exclusives, but I liked playing them on console that seem to be coming out anytime soon. Like, we have no, like, EA did a bit of a tease during their session, was that last week or the week before last, where they had a little bit of the next Dragon Age kind of flowing up in some bit of like kind of like this montage. There's no specific details there. Mass Effect is currently, as this franchise, dead in the water, and those were like, and they obviously both EA, both BioWare, and that's like about two franchises that I kind of gave a damn about, and they're kind of in this really shit situation at the moment. So and I was happy to then go with whichever console was gonna treat me nicely whilst I played those. currently not in a situation where there's a game that I care, am I going to be treated nicely whilst I play it on a console? I do give a damn about what's happening with the Nintendo Switch as a console, because I continue to enjoy its portability and the fact that they've got odd and fun games coming out on. Like, we've got the... I can't remember if it's a prequel or sequel, but it's a second Deadly Premonition game coming out in July.
Oh, that's going to be interesting.
I'm replaying the original on Switch at the moment and enjoying it a lot. I mean, I haven't played that game in, like, I think 9 years? So, and it's still fun. It's crazy and absolutely fun. And when the next Legend of Zelda happens, I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to that
you
after
are.
Finishing Breath of the Wild.
Good, good.
In March.
I still have not started Breath of the Wild.
Have you actually got it?
Yeah. It's in the house.
Okay.
It's in the pile.
Is it in a pile? Two, to be honest.
What's the other
Animal
one?
Crossing and Zelda.
I think I've now put something like... I've probably put more than 100... I know the last time I checked, I'd put 110 hours into the new Animal Crossing, so, and that was a few weeks ago, so it's no more than that. I've put into that game.
I've just got Isabelle on my island.
I've managed to get Raymond to move in with no effort after everyone on the internet apparently going fucking crazy for him. It's like this cool-looking cat.
I've got Mary the cat.
Has Mary had people trying to like use real cash money to buy Mary?
I have no idea.
Because apparently that was something that was happening with Raymond to the extent that like a real degree of scalping was almost going on and stuff. And Nintendo have said, okay, we are cracking down on people using real money to buy Islanders in this game. But, like,
yeah, that's a bit weird.
Yeah. Like, people have been crazy. But anyway, this is not next gen. This is just the craziness that is the world of Nintendo.
You notice I was relatively polite through all that?
Yeah, you were. But then I think we're in a situation where it's not like we're looking at two higher spec consoles that are offering anything particularly amazing. Like, to me, eternally, if you've ever been worried about graphics as a thing... And the speed of, like, you should make sure that you build yourself a decent gaming PC.
Yeah, that's always been my angle. Just about the only time, I mean, there's, you know, I've had this, you know, this whole conversation before, you know, which one will have better graphics? The last few generations of gamers console have been so damn close, it's been ridiculous. It's not like back in the days of the Super Nintendo where it was, I can do Mode 7 and transparencies, and the, you know, the Mega Drive could, you know, was just, you know, a faster CPU, and it could do more, you know, with that. You know, it's not like, you know, there's a huge, massive difference. It's basically the screen resolution changes if one console is less powerful. You're getting much of a muchness.
Yeah.
I think that's been part of the issue with you know, the console wars for a while, the how similar the consoles are to each other.
And that's why we've been kind of been relying on game exclusives.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not sure if it's a weird combination of just they genuinely don't have anything that's like groundbreaking in terms of exclusives, or obviously the ongoing issue with the coronavirus pandemic. There's that. And I've got another angle on that related to this I want to get to, but that they haven't been able to kind of felt strongly enough to talk about anything, because they've essentially had a quarter of business where development of any exclusives will have been severely impacted. I'm actually now getting into this something else, a little surprised that everyone's saying, like Sony and Microsoft seem to be saying, you know, holidays 2020, which is like what, between Thanksgiving and Christmas essentially, for this year. I'm shocked that they're still saying that. I mean, I know that little bits of the sort of like the hardware market have been affected by events, and certainly if there were to be any massive second wave lockdowns in certain areas of the supply chain for both businesses, could be some serious issues. I mean, we have seen with, because the Nintendo Switch has been like the most popular console of lockdown. We have seen supply issues because manufacturing has been affected by COVID. Meanwhile, people or businesses that tend to manufacture like, you know, ye typical kind of like office wear of your laptops and your desktops for just work, they've also been having issues building enough new machines to meet demand anyway, as people switch to work from home. So the electronics market as a whole at the moment is, unless you've kind of got your supply chain very diversified, one might say, and you're not basically relying all on and everything coming from one country, it's a bit rocky at the moment. And also, if economically things get a bit more screwy worldwide, launching two big-ass new consoles at the start of what could be a global economic kind of slowdown could have some big issues as well.
I mean, that was the whole reason that was given for, the length of, the 360 and PS3 generation, isn't it?
Yeah, because of the 2000... Well, I like to think of it from 2007 because of what happened in UK, but obviously most people tend to acknowledge it from 2008.
Yeah. 2007 was when it kicked off and when the rot started getting noticed.
Yeah, but I think it was us being hit a bit more before the US.
Yeah.
Because we kind of had, we had Northern Rock happen in 2007, but the Americans didn't quite have anything as big as that until the end of the year, start of 2008.
Yeah, it was, it's not going to happen here, oh wait.
Yeah.
We were doing exactly the same shit.
But anyway, that you're right, it is one of the reasons why that console generation was eked out quite a bit.
Yeah, and consider some of the numbers we've seen for how bad the shutdown has hit a lot of economies. It's like, we're so screwed.
I'm just looking at with a high-end PC build list and cost, just the ones that's priced up. I mean, when we're saying here, obviously, trying to get all the parts together to build consoles at the moment might be tough, but actually trying to build your own gaming PC at the moment might be a little interesting. I do remember a friend of mine saying the other week that it might be not necessarily due to availability, but because of new bits of hardware like Ryzen from AMD and stuff being released that could affect things.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a nice 11th of June piece from PC Gamer with a high-end build of at least $2,000. That might be a bit extreme. It's certainly a bit extreme if you're also relying on an Intel Core i7. Considering what's been going on with Intel lately, I'm not sure I would want to build a gaming PC with an Intel Core processor. Maybe that's just me.
It's been remarkable watching the turnaround. Because it used to be that, my PC's got an Intel. And that's because at the time, they were giving, the best grunt for, the price I was aiming for. Because I think my quad core cost about 75 quid, because I was building an entirely new PC at the time, so everything had to be budgeted out. And getting an Intel board and an Intel CPU was just cheaper at the time. So, and also they, they gave very good performance, but AMD has completely flipped that now. Yeah. They've been very good, very good results with Ryzen 2.
And I mean and both the PS5 and the Xbox Series X are using, AMD for their systems. Not that either of them have used Intel. Have any of them ever used Intel?
The original Xbox used an Intel.
Okay.
Yeah, it's also important to point out that when the PS4 and Xbox One were released, they were effectively using laptop parts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot that.
So, yeah, that was one reason at the time I wasn't hugely excited about them, because it was, these machines are six times more powerful than the 360 and PS, you know, 3. And just, why? The length of this generation, why? They should be much more powerful than that.
So,
that's 2004 to 2012? Something like that?
Something crazy, yeah.
Yeah.
Or was it did we buy the Xbox 360 when you were on the last year of your degree? Or first year?
Possibly. Might have been the last.
It'd been out a couple of years. Like, we hadn't.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Upgraded. And we upgraded maybe midway through its lifespan.
But of course, that's an excellent time, because that means you're still getting the the midlife span, you know, top tier stuff, and you've got a good spread of cheaper.
Yeah, and I remember one of the reasons why I decided to actually invest in one was basically because of I think I had a span of going through, I think it was GT game trailers, trailer reviews of, like,
remember them?
Yeah, yeah. And kind of going through, like, a load of, like, games, that obviously wasn't out on the Wii at the time. It was obviously kind of 360 and whatnot. And being like, you know what, these actually look quite cool. A couple of them caught my eye. That's where I first found out about Mass Effect.
Yeah.
So I was like, I really would like to get a 360. And I think we got the bundle with Devil May Cry 4, I believe.
Unfortunately.
And you played it, it was like, ugh! Because
I was so disappointed by that fucking
game. Picked that up for a few quid because, you know, I've been badgered the Devil May Cry, Devil May Cry, Devil May Cry. So I just picked that one up and it was like, this is shit.
I much preferred the previous three games, even two, which everyone hates.
They're on Switch.
At the same time, I would need a pro controller to play them because of the button bashing involved to get combos is...
Yeah, well, I mean, you said that you wanted to get a pro controller at some point.
Right, yeah. Anyway, going back to next-gen consoles and versus PCs...
Is it bad that we're more excited about current-gen?
I mean... The Switch offers something. This is the thing. Nintendo have gone down this route where they're offering something very different to everybody else, and everybody else is slowly becoming a PC where you're kind of locked more and more into an ecosystem where you're wondering, why did you allow yourself to be locked more and more into an ecosystem?
Well, I mean, just kind of look at the progression of the Xbox and PlayStation throughout the ages, and, you know, you basically have pretty much the exact same console, just getting a bit beefier, you know, over time.
I mean, it'd be interesting to know what's going to happen with the Final Fantasy VII remake, next part.
Well, I mean, I think it was only meant to be a timed exclusive for PlayStation 4, so chances are it'll come to 360 as well. Especially
not
because,
360.
You know what I mean.
Xbox One.
Xbox One, is it? Or
yeah,
Xbox X,
it'll
or
be
X. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
There's so many different consoles!
Yeah, it's like with the PlayStation, you have PS1, you have PS2, PS3, PS4, PS5 now. Xbox, you had Xbox, you had Xbox 360, Xbox One, Xbox, you know, 1S or
Series
whatever
X
and whatnot.
Is happening, yeah.
And now Series X, and it's like, at least Nintendo, you don't get confused about which generation it is, because they have very, very different names, apart from the Wii and the Wii U. That confused everybody.
I was going to say, you know, people just get confused whether something is a portable or whether it's just a controller with a big screen. You see, I couldn't hold back from that.
Okay. No. That's fair. And to be honest, I do remember being like, oh, you know, how far a range is it and whatnot. And I remember one night...
you tried to play Batman Arkham City upstairs.
In bed with the Wii U itself downstairs and, you know, me kind of in bed. And... It kind of worked for a little bit, but got rather kind of janky and kind of disconnected a lot. And it was just like, at that point, it's like, no, this is not designed to be you know, kind of a console where you can kind of port it, or, you know, kind of play with it around the house. Not really. Yeah. Not unless you've got a tiny house.
So what I'm saying is that in terms of my... because I wish to continue playing video games, surprisingly.
Goodness.
My purchasing decisions at the moment in regards to upgrades are I'm looking at building a gaming PC. I may consider one of these consoles in the future.
When they're not close to 500 quid.
But it would be once the price had gone down a bit, because, you know, it's older. And they actually had an exclusive meet that was worth me giving a what's it about. You know?
See, that's a thing, because so many of the, you know, the titles are now so expensive for them to make that it's, you know, how can you justify most exclusives?
Well, I mean, it is very kind of showing the way that they announced, like, the first game that they kind of did on the PlayStation announcement was Grand Theft Auto V.
Ah, but we know why.
It's because they haven't done anything else.
It's because they've signed a deal with Rockstar, and all PS5s will have a as they say, a free copy of Grand Theft Auto Online on the hard drive, or rather, should I say, the SSD.
What is the name of the U2 album that everyone who owned an Apple thing got forced to have? Because that's what that feels like a bit.
Yeah, although apparently with this you can remove it if you want. I'm not even sure if it's a full copy of the game. Because they were very specifically saying a free copy of Grand Theft Auto Online.
Yeah, but also, like, it seems a bit wrong to be shipping a console with default available on it an 18 rated game.
That's true, actually.
In the UK, I don't know what the ESRB certificate for it is. I mean, it's probably something high in Australia and Germany.
When you kind of consider it as well, that means that second-hand consoles, well, I suppose it depends on whether you can actually get rid of the game or not.
It depends.
I remember when, you know, Sega used to do this thing where if you basically booted up the their, you know, kind of console, you used to basically play a game that was already kind of built into the console.
Mm.
You know, a lot of the time, I think
that was on
Alex
the Master
World
System.
And whatnot. Yeah. I kind of like the idea of kind of a packing game like that, but to have it or have that game automatically installed on your PlayStation is a bit kind of weird considering, presumably they're going to be sticking with their model of paid online play.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that you're going to have this software on there that's not only unsuitable for kids, but kind of requires you to, you know, do the extra payment, monthly payment, to be able to use it in the first place.
It's also absolutely rammed with online charges.
Are we being joined by a cat?
Yes. Carly's coming to say hello.
Oh, hi, Carly.
She thought I needed some shouting at, which I'm not one to argue with.
I mean, we are debating, you know, like the console PC master race issues again. So, I mean, like, I can't remember. Yeah, it's like, it's probably going to be some, like, somewhere in the. Because we have talked about console generations before, near release times and stuff. Because, I mean, this podcast did start in 2012. So, there was time for hype.
That was 8 years ago.
So, much hype. Much disappoint.
I know you've got laptops and tablets, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Does your laptop have a hard drive, or is it solid state?
My laptop is solid state, but it was kind of a new technology at the time, because my laptop's quite old now.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's not necessary. It's faster than it would be if it was a hard drive, but it's not, you know, like instant, is it?
No, not instant.
My main laptop's a solid state because it's a Surface. Can't.
No, no, you can't really do a Microsoft Surface with non-solid state.
Yeah. It's a bit tricky, that. Mm. On a kind of its thin size.
I mean, I do remember researching about solid state drives when I was kind of ordering the laptop. And it basically being like, you know, for a start, don't defrag it, because it has less ability to write over stuff than, you know, traditional hard drives. So when you defrag it, because you're kind of, you know, copying information from this part of the drive to that part of the drive and then erasing it and blah, 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 it basically just kind of wears it out way more than, you know, it's necessary.
Yeah.
And you don't generally tend to need to either, because, you know, the read speeds on kind of solid state drives are high enough so that, you know, you don't get any benefit from making sure that all of this information is over in that part of the drive instead.
Yeah, the price you're going to pay for reducing the lifespan is not worth even the, you know, the microfractional advantage you're going to get from, you know, getting it, you know, through all that in the first place.
Exactly.
It's just not worth it.
And I'm pretty sure that solid state drives have got, you know, even better and more, you know,
resilient.
Yeah, I mean, as an example, my Latte Panda, it's basically, I've mentioned it before, but, you know, the long and short of it is, if you imagine a Raspberry Pi, but it's built from a, you know, system on a chip, an Intel system on a chip, which would otherwise go into a, you know, like a Windows 10 tablet.
Mm.
But it's in, you know, it's on a board and it's got more ports. So it's more like a, you know, a mini PC Pi thing. That has a 32 gig, you know, solid state. I'm not even sure if it defines as properly SSD, but, you know, as in, you know, it's fast enough, but it's not exactly lightning fast.
Yeah.
Which is why I was you know, asking about, you know, tablets or, you know, laptops, that kind of thing, because it's kind of comparable to that. Whereas my desktop PC, I've got several hard drives in that, but Windows 10 boots from an old SSD, and that's quite a nippy little bugger. So I think, you know, all this talk about, you know, how many cores, how fast they are, it's kind of, yes, them, you know, it's better hardware in both consoles. But when it comes down to it, the defining feature of this coming generation is going to be the speed of the solid state drives that they're both running on. Mm-hmm. You know, they both left hard drives behind. And I think I heard earlier that I think the PC version of FIFA is going to be based on the Xbox One and, you know, PS4 version, rather than the Series X and, you know, PS5 version, because they can't guarantee that, you know, enough people are going to have SSDs in their PCs.
Okay.
So, you know, when it comes to SSD, you know, the whole selling point is it's, you know, a little bit slower than RAM. So rather than having to, you know, thrash the hard drive to, you know, to get all that data, it, you know, it can be, you know, very quickly accessed. And that's the defining thing that the PS5 has decided to sell it on, you know, sell itself on, as having, you know, the faster SSD. And, you know, faster than, you know, most PC SSD drives that you can get. But of course, that's the thing with PC hardware. As soon as people start going, oh, hang on, I'm going to have to get some SSDs, or I, you know, I played on my mate's new console and it's got an SSD and everything's a lot faster, I don't like waiting anymore, SSDs are just going to fly off the shelf.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, yeah, I know I've already got an SSD in mind, but I'm starting to, well, frankly, I've already started, because I've got a lot of RAM in my, you know, my desktop.
How much?
But it, 18 gig.
Oh my god.
And the thing is, I've got about 6 terabytes of hard drive space.
Oh, whoa.
One of spread across two 3 terabyte hard drives, and one of those is entirely free, full with Steam. And the other has some runoff from that, some overflow.
So, out of interest, how's the Steam Summer Sale gone for you?
Is it like Pokemon? Yeah. You've got to catch them all.
I do wonder.
I've kind of not bothered with the Steam Sale which is going at the moment, because it's kind of you're not reducing most things to the state that I want.
I think that was kind of part of the kind of thing about Steam, is that it kind of lured you in with Steam sales, like being heavily reducing like loads and loads and loads of games, and getting people to spend and kind of getting people to anticipate the next Steam sale, and then they kind of don't have to lower the prices as much.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm already subscribed to Humble Monthly.
Mm.
So I get games monthly anyway, so it's kind of...
I've got a question.
Okay.
With this upcoming console generation, is this where we're going to find that the wheels of the AAA creation sort of development and publishing regime are going to finally start falling off?
In what respect?
Because of the fact that the cost for making these games seems to have ballooned over the last two generations, and we're about to have an even more expensive console generation. Like, whilst the financial and global concerns are in place, as we've previously discussed this episode, like, could this start to see big studio development? I mean, I think we're going to see fewer big studio releases.
Yeah, because they're going to take more and more risk with the ballooning budgets. I think you'll still have the indie kind of scene.
Oh, yeah, indie
and
scene
kind of,
if you go there.
Maybe you'll see more mid-range, kind of developers.
You know, with the PS5, the stream event that they had, and obviously they had a couple of indie titles on that, but, I mean, I didn't hear maybe huge amounts of, the continued support for indie development for their systems. I'm assuming it's going to be okay for indie devs still, but I'm just guessing.
They would be very, 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 very stupid to not push indie stuff.
Yeah.
I've kind of been pondering this because, there's this whole thing about how much crunch we've got on games like, Last of Us Part 2. And I'm hearing about crunch for Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah, and Cyberpunk 2077 has been pushed back again.
Yes. Personally, I'm, Cyberpunk 2077 is one of those games, it's one of those very few games that I'm going, the horizon. And I'm fine for stuff to be pushed back. Yes, I want to play stuff, but if you need that extra time, for God's sake, take it. I'm not going to say no. Please use the extra time.
Is it because of the elite colonial marines?
Well, not only that, but if it's just, if we want the people who are making it to be able to go home and, sleep in the same house as their families rather than under a desk, I am all in favour of that.
True.
The thing is, I don't even understand how crunch can feasibly work. I feel like games that we've seen huge amounts of accusations for crunch, the quality of the product that actually ends up being released is severely hampered. Case in point for that, I suppose, is something like L.A. Noire, which is, it has fascinating facial graphics going on, sure, but it's buggy as fuck. Even after it got a little... I don't think it did even manage to get any patches, but regardless, its re-release is buggy as hell. And the poor people working on that game had so much goddamn crunch. It was one of the biggest controversies of the year it was released, with Rockstar, because obviously it wasn't them,
Team Bondi.
Yeah, he made it. And obviously, but it was Rockstar publishing it. And Rockstar just kind of be like, don't know anything about this, back in the day. And it's just like, but the quality was appalling. And it's not to say that it's the fault of the people that are working on the game. It's the fault of the people managing those people.
Yeah.
And the people managing those people.
It does make me wonder whether part of the problem with games like L.A. Noire and even stuff like Skyrim, because that's a buggy mess, so's Fallout and whatnot.
That's Bethesda.
Yeah. But basically, all of these games are obviously a huge scale. And it kind of makes you think that maybe the workload is kind of too heavy in one direction rather than the other.
I was thinking,
on the other hand there, one game which I know went under tremendous crunch was Red Dead Redemption.
One or two?
One. Okay. Two probably went through a crunch as well, but I do know that, you know, the original, well, I say the original, but, you know, yeah, the original Red Dead Redemption did have a crunch, and yeah, look at it. So it doesn't always have to turn out bad, but I just think it's bad management either way.
Yeah.
I do like the Nintendo approach with that, where they say, you know, crunch is a failure. And they, you know, they've said that, you know, they try not to do, you know, any type of crunch whatsoever, that, and that's sometimes why their stuff, you know, just turns up late.
Just for the audience and possibly me, what do you mean by crunch when it comes to development?
It's, I would say, an unrealistic amount of development to meet a potentially arbitrary date for production, but also potentially with features being added on or taken away by stakeholders in a manner that also then impedes meeting of those deadlines.
Yeah. Another way of describing it would be, you know, those homework assignments that you were given and you put off until, like, you know, the very last week, and then, you know, you worked like 8 hours a day getting them done. Just so you know, working all through the last night. This is probably just me, but I don't know. But, you know, you'd work all through the night, literally all through the night, you know, before you were to hand it in, just so you could get it finished, when you could have done it properly, just over a longer period of time. It's a bit like that, except everything's about $100 million, and there are 400 other people who are under your control, having to do it because you couldn't plan it properly.
That too.
Mm.
Basically. Fair. I mean, I tried to research, I think it was a month or two ago, like whether or not the type of development practices that are used at my job exist much in video games development. Because technically I work in a software business. There was like, yeah, a couple of people trying to preach it, but from what I see and hear from industry and stuff, it isn't being used much at all. And I would say it could be a lot responsible for just the shitty situation that a lot of people working in development teams find themselves in a lot of businesses for certain studios, unfortunately.
Yeah, I just think it's a bad way to do business.
Yeah, and it's just surprising, like, considering the amount of money involved. It's like you have kind of like, you know, heads of whatever kind of, you know, like we're spending like, you know, millions and millions on this shit, and it's like, right, but you seem to do nothing about the processes and culture involved to ensure that this money's actually spent more effectively. Because this efficiency isn't the issue; it's how effective people are being with all of this resource, so that, you know, quality is high, you don't waste your talent, stuff meets deadlines to like a reasonable, sane extent, so that you have the kind of lead times you need to get into the final stages of production, which, if you've got discs being involved, obviously is getting discs printed, but also stuff like, you know, actually being able to compile like the final piece of software.
Yeah.
I don't know, it just seems crazy. Like, you don't see, except in exceptional circumstances, you don't see the equivalent happening with films with the same sort of budgets. Like,
you see, I was just going to say, I was thinking in the, you know, the same terms of, you know, as films, but, you know, go on, and then...
Yeah, so, like, okay, so there's only a couple of cases where it's worked out okay, but people probably rather it hadn't been like that. Like, X-Men First Class had a really short production time and obviously a lot of budget, and it was kind of, it was, like, rammed through, basically, to make sure that Fox held onto the rights, from what I remember.
And it was nice that they finally made a good X-Men film.
Yeah, it was. But that's like the rare exception, you know, these exceptions where it's worked okay. But then you get something like, I think X-Men Origins Wolverine ended up having one of those rammed schedules and lots of money thrown at it. And it all went a bit wrong, especially in the script and effects department. Admittedly, though, the effects was also partially affected by the fact that there was that leak of the film by somebody in Brazil.
That'd do it.
Which kind of messed up, essentially, the crunch for the visual effects people of that film. It's like, yeah, no.
So, thanks for that.
But those are, like, the only two sort of filmy ones, but obviously comparable, that I can think of off the top of my head at this time. But basically, film productions do take a while, and they don't tend to rush things as much, at least in the post-production side. On the filming side, things can get rushed because, obviously, depending on the stars you have and availability, because they might have assignments come up for other projects, you know, for contracts. But on the post-production side, especially when you consider the amount of like test screening and shit that goes on these days for big films, like there's a lot of time spent on like the piecing everything together once the raw material's there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say rush jobs happen that often, or as often as they could. I would say that, but then I can't speak for visual effects departments, which I have a feeling, like video games studios, may in fact endure some of the similar shit.
I think they get the brunt.
Yeah. Because obviously, like, especially if it's an effects-laden film, they tend to have to be the ones to get a ton of shit finished so that the rest of the project can actually get moved along.
Well, I mean, considering they also... a lot of the time they employ multiple production, like post-production companies, on the same movie to make sure that, you know, things can be turned around as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have like this sequence, the visual effects and CGI and whatnot given to this company. And on this kind of scene, you'll have, you know, these visual effects given to that company instead.
However, having lots of different companies make entertainment products has proven to be at times a bad choice. We've certainly seen it in video games with the mess that is Resident Evil 6. I will never replay that game. Unless someone pays me to.
That was certainly a...
And also, what was the newer Deus Ex game that came up when they kind of soft rebooted the franchise? It's not Mankind. It's not Mankind Divided. What was the one? Revolution?
I honestly can't remember because I've not played that one yet.
It's been the second to last one. That was out on 360 Gen. I'm trying to remember the name. The boss fights in that, they were outsourced.
Oh, that one, yeah. Those were farmed out and they were terrible.
Yeah, so I think that was... Deus Ex Human Revolution, was it?
I think so.
Was
yes.
The yep. date fit. Yes, it was 2011 for that.
Because I think the one after that was Mankind Divided.
Yeah.
Where it was reviewed so well, and yet it was also rammed full of DLC and, you know, all that kind of thing, and it just failed at retail.
How would we bring this back to what we were talking about, which was next gen and PCs?
Well, I was going to say, you know, because I was thinking about, you know, a comparison with films.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, pondering the whole AAA thing. Now, I'm not sure about the, you know, the TV approach. I'm not sure about the episodic approach, because that's been tried, and that's got its pluses, but it's definitely got its minuses when you're talking about a gameplay experience. But what I was thinking is a comparison with, say, you've got the Lord of the Rings films, where, you know, you've got 3+ hours per film.
Yeah.
And then, say, compare that to the Marvel Universe, where you can have individual films which are shorter, they're more focused, but they also have things added in from, you know, the overall storyline. So it's just, I'm not sure. I have the feeling that AAA will kind of go the Marvel Universe route, where you can have, you know, more focused games, and they'll be kind of episodic, but you'll have, you know, like games in the series, rather than absolutely massive, goes on forever, you know, single titles.
Okay. I think one of the things that people seem to forget when it comes to video games, consoles, and new console generations and whatnot, is that, in actual fact, the best games of virtually any console come from the back end of its lifespan.
Yeah, once everyone's got a handle on how to create for the system.
Exactly, and they can, you know, use creative, you know, kind of ways of pushing the system beyond its limits. That has always been the way. The only problem is that in order to get to that point, that console needs to have sold well enough for developers to be interested in developing for it.
Yeah.
In a way, it's a bit like the secondhand games market, when it's like, you know, you kind of want to wait around for this popular game to come down in price and buy it secondhand, but that'll only happen once it stops being popular.
Yeah.
And, you know, if everybody's waiting for it to basically be reduced down in price, nobody's going to buy it. And nobody's going to have it secondhand because of that.
Yeah, you always have to weigh out the gotta have it. With the, yeah, I'll play it, or I'll watch that, or I'll listen to that, or, you know, whatever. Or, you know, read it later when I can get it cheaper.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And it's arguable that, you know, the second class, you know, provide the long tail. If you're sensible, you will reduce the price of your thing, and, you know, people will pick it up.
Mm.
You can keep making money from it, because it's the whole thing with, you know, blockbuster films as well. It's all concentrated on the opening weekend. If people, you know, if no one bothers in the opening weekend, then that film is dead.
Yeah, but then you'll also kind of have people that watch it through like other means, or, you know, pick it up at, you know, bargain stations or whatnot, and end up getting a cult following, like maybe like a couple of years down the road after it's kind of come out, which is kind of what happened with Dread. For example,
a few films are like that.
Yeah. And many games are like that as well.
Rather infamously, the Rocky Horror Picture Show did not do well when it was releasing, you know, the original cinema run. But it had such an indie, you know, long tail that it's still being shown, which is just great.
Yeah.
not just because it's Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah. I was just thinking, if we ignore the idea of console-exclusive games for a moment and just think about, I don't know, like either multi-platform, or at least these days, multi-platform franchises, or just new games that are really interesting. I haven't seen any actually, you know, big AAA announcements that usually will make me want to buy a new console anyway. Whether it's a continuation of a series or not.
I mean, it's also to do with the fact that...
Because I would rather not buy a gaming PC, everyone. I don't need... Because I write a lot outside of work, and I like having a PC that I can't run games on to do that. because it stops me from getting distracted and playing games when I should be writing.
It's the whole thing of making sure your computer is disconnected from the internet and you know, stuff like that, isn't it?
Much. But if I want to have new stuff, I would rather have a console because it's less effort.
Yeah.
My issue is it going to be less effort, or if I want to continue to find new experiences easily, do I need a PC? And it's looking a bit like that.
Well,
and
the,
even if
the
new
way...
experiences, and it's new experiences to me, that doesn't necessarily mean new games.
Yeah. And there's a cat again. The way to look at it is whenever a new console generation comes along, there is a leap in PC requirements. So, for example, the PC that I've been gaming on, the only upgrade I've really made to it other than hard drive space, which is, it's just storage. That's it. In years, is a new graphics card because my old one died. It just went poof. So, I had to buy a new one.
Yeah.
But that was also an upgrade, and it used less power. So, I've been using the more or less the same PC with the bit more RAM, over time. But same CPU, same motherboard for about the last five longer years. Because... When I first built this, it was around about the time that the next gen, as in the PS4 and in Xbox One, were coming. So I wanted to make sure that I would have a PC that would play the games that were also coming out on those. And it's lasted all that time. I'm going to have to upgrade within the next 2 years, I'd say. But seeing as we only have one 4K screen in the house, and I'm not bothered about replacing the current 1080 screens I have. I don't have to worry about if I can get 4K at 60 frames per second.
Yeah. I mean, we've only got one 4K screen in the house as well, and that's the main TV that we have in the living room, which currently has consoles and Blu-ray player connected up to it. So,
to be honest, I'm not sure whether I can recognise the difference between 1080p. Signal on there and 4K signal.
I can see the difference when I'm on a PC between 720 and 1080.
Yeah,
I can definitely see that.
I mean, that's 720 and 1080.
Yeah.
To be fair though, because we're not sitting right next, right next to the TV. It's across the room as well, so
yeah.
it's not like we're gonna get the kind of extra definition of 4K gaming or whatever.
Yeah, it's like all this stuff about 8K. It's like, okay, if you have to justify... I'll have the extra pixels if you're insisting.
I mean, at least Sony also sell TVs, so they could be like, look, you want to get the new 8K Bravia to go with your brand spanking new PS5 that's got these games that are doing 8K.
And I'll be, I'm quite happy with my 40-inch 1080.
Yeah.
Because I sit across the room from it. I'm not... it's not a monitor which I'm sitting right in front of. It's like right now I'm sitting in front of a Samsung, which is, I think it's something like, it's one of those where it was the weird resolutions that HD TVs were for a while. It's something like 1360 by 768. And I'm streaming my PC over to it via the Steam Link, and it's running in 1080i, and it's, it's doing that. And I can see the pixels, but that's because I'm sitting maybe a meter away from it. It's a 32-inch screen.
Yeah.
So if I was sitting on a sofa, I wouldn't really be able to see them. But I'm not. So it's a weird thing to chase. So long as the hardware can cope with the base level, you're fine.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're going to be watching it on an 80, centimeter screen or a big cinema thing, then you're fine.
Yeah.
And unless you're the kind of wanker who was going on about chrome tape in the late 80s.
Sorry, what?
Oh, that it's just one of those audiophile, just like you have cinephile, blah 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 blah. Oh no, you can't possibly just use the normal ferric audio tapes. You have to use chrome with my particular type of expensive recorder which recognizes chrome and blah blah blah. I knew someone who was like that at school, and it was like, you are such a twat. I think I said that to him to his face once as well, because he was just trying to explain why these tapes that cost something like 10 quid for a normal audio tape to record on.
Jeez.
And it's like, oh, it's worth it. And is it? Don't think it is. I'll put up with a hiss until something better comes along. Thanks very much.
Well, guys, I think that's all we've got time for this week.
Wait, before we do.
Oh, yeah.
Let's hazard a guess of how long into this next console generation it will be before we actually get
until we cave in. Keep in mind that on design choices, it's, like I said, the sex toy versus, let's look at the Xbox.
The sex toy early 2000s internet modem
versus a fridge. So aesthetically, we're going to be poorly served either way.
Which do you prefer the look of?
With the PS4, the edges look like they're going to snap off.
PS5, Paul.
Sorry, PS5.
Yeah, they do. It does look fragile. I wouldn't want that in a room with a pet or a small child.
I mean, could you imagine if it fell off the shelf or somewhere and all of a sudden...
Also, did you see how big people think it's going to be? Because, of course, one of them has that, drive slot.
Mm.
So they're thinking, well, if that's a standard, optical, media.
Which it should be, because it's a 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Drive.
So unless for some reason it's artificially wide, then it's going to be quite tall.
I mean, the PS5, I'm looking at a picture now, it looks like it's going to be 2.5 to 3 discs tall. The Xbox Series X... Okay, now the drive on that does look unnaturally wide for what they've got there.
Judging by the size
on the Series X.
Yeah, on the Series X. But if it is the right width, then it looks like it's more like two, definitely no more than 2.5 discs tall.
I don't know, I'm just reminiscing about all the times when, new consoles were kind of announced and it's like, oh yes, and we have extra buttons on the controller. And now they don't even bother with that. They're just like, yeah, we've redesigned the controller. It's pretty much the same, only it's a slightly different shape here.
I mean, I don't think I could actually comfortably play an Xbox-style controller anymore.
Hey, Emily. Try that. That is the Switch Pro controller. How does it feel, Emily?
Still feels a bit weird having a stick there. I'm not sure. I'd have to give it a go, properly.
Can I say I never liked the stick placement on the the DualShock controllers.
Well, they sort of have them level and stuff.
Hmm.
Okay.
I always felt that if you were using, because your thumb is how you control it.
Yeah.
And having the action buttons under the right thumb was natural, so it just felt weird to then move your left thumb downwards so you could use the stick down there.
Hmm.
Whereas I've just always preferred the analog stick higher up, and that goes from N64, third party pads, Dreamcast, Saturn, 3D pad, all those kinds of things. I just preferred the analog higher up.
But you know on the left what? Stick. None of them are a Dreamcast controller.
That's true.
And that's my ultimate like go-to for good controller design. God, I miss those things.
And in that way, the Xbox controllers are actually closer.
Yeah. But I'm worried about the weight, because I just about could deal with the Xbox 360's controllers, but the Xbox ones were a bit clunky again. So,
bringing it back to the question I asked, I think so long as there's like decent exclusives kind of regularly or relatively regularly kind of coming out, I'd probably give it about 3 or 4 years maybe.
Do you know what? It'll be depending on whether or not anything funky happens with essentially Final Fantasy 16, if there's going to be a 16, which one assumes there's going to be.
All know there's going to be a 16.
And Elder Scrolls 6.
That's if they get round to Elder Scrolls 6, not just doing some other, you know, you're
fucking
random
bullshit. Thanks, Bethesda. Because those two would be because they're my favourite franchises, aside from Resident Evil to an extent. Depending on what the releases are looking like for those. Okay, 16 hasn't been announced yet, but we know Elder Scrolls 6 is coming in some form or other. It's inevitable, right? But it depends who gets what first. And if it's then a cross-release across everything, then it's like, well...
That's not helping.
No.
Yeah, it's like sorted.
But I kind of hope that they continue to do cross-play. A multiplayer.
That's an area I've heard where it's getting all shitted up again.
Ah, for fuck's sake. There's nothing worse than, you know, basically, buying a game that your friend has and then going, oh, sorry, we can't play online because you've got an Xbox and I've got a PlayStation. Yeah. Even though they're pretty much the same machine at this fucking point.
Yeah.
You're playing the same game. Tough. And the thing is, though, is that because of stuff like that happening, the multiplayer aspects die quicker. Because there's less people online playing it.
Yeah.
Now, I did ask which look of the, you know, just the console, which would you be happier seeing in your living room?
looking over at our consoles we currently have there. The Xbox the Xbox Series X will fit in aesthetically more with what we currently have.
True, but I dislike the fact that both of them seem to be vertical machines.
Yes. That is a problem.
I mean, I can kind of see why they are, because it used to be that VCRs and, you know, DVD players were the shape they were because we had CRTs. So you needed, you know, if you could put something under the CRT, it would be fine. But now everything, everyone's got, you know, apart from me, I'm not saying how many CRTs I have. Because that would be incriminating. Is it just because today I pointed out that there's a box that we use to block off the cat flaps so the cats can't get upstairs, you know, overnight. And I just said to her earlier, did you realise that that's a small CRT TV in the box? And she says, no, I didn't. But it's like, yeah, she's not surprised. But yeah, you know, we all had that, but now we've all got big flat screens.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that sort of throwing it for a loop.
I'll tell you what, neither goes with what I'm trying to do for redecorating our living room. Neither's going to match the aesthetic. Neither's going to fit in.
When the look of the PS5 was unveiled, I was surprised how much of a backlash there was against the look. Because I just thought it looked, okay, they're going for that. That's a bit weird.
If they hadn't got those stupid corners on it and they had just continued to curve the white with the black layer, it probably would have been fine. It's the fact that you've got those two pointy bits.
You know, it'll probably happen 2 years down the road. They'll have a light version, which is redesigning the shell.
And it just curves around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, I think that is all we've got time for this episode of Nerds Assemble Podcast. If you wish to let us know, of course, what the feckin' hell you think about all of this, You can tweet us at Nerds Podcast, or you could like message us on the Nerds Simple Podcast on Facebook. You know, like, and say like, what the fuck, guys? I don't know. My bank account's gonna hurt either way. Yeah, you can do that. We're cool for that. We're jelly for that.
To be honest, I'd stick with buying games for current gen consoles at this point.
Well, yeah, but then there's always that point where they start to suck. In terms, like, there's like a limit to the graphical representation, and they start to like not bother with the gameplay and stuff. It kind of happens. There's like a tipping point where
it's a bit like this thing that we're working on in no way can fit in this console.
Yeah.
So we're not even going to try.
That's usually down to the laziness of developers going, oh, well, we actually want to push this, you know, our version on the new console.
Well, it's also the investment as well, because if you've got fewer and fewer people buying them. I mean, you know, I'll give EA one thing apart from the finger, which is they support the, you know, a lot of the older consoles much longer than anyone else. Because they release things like Madden and FIFA.
Well, they have all the sports in games.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing that someone, you know, who has a Wii or, you know, a PS3 sitting there, and if it's the only thing they'll buy, if there are enough people who are going to be rushing out to buy that as soon as it's released, they're going to release it. So, you know, at least there's that. But yeah, when it comes to games that need to spend, then it's not necessarily. You're just going to end up with reskins of a FIFA or whatever.
Mm. Okay, so that's all we've got time for this episode. So it is good night from...
It's good night from me, Paul Wood. I'm retroed on Eurogamer.net and super retroed on Twitter.
It's good night from me, Paul Blewett. I'm on Twitter. Is that Paul Blewett?
It's good night from me, Emily King. I'm on Twitter at EMKingMA. You can find notes for this episode over at www.nerdassemble.co.uk. You can find us on Twitter at Nerds Podcast, and on Facebook as Nerds Assemble Podcast. Episodes, in case you didn't know, are available on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and maybe a couple other places. Website work is still ongoing. We've started thinking about new branding at the moment. So we're going for a new look.
Hashtag brand, hashtag content.
Yes. So as ever, if stuff goes a bit funky, it could be that, but also our current RSS provider is slow as hell, so if you wonder why episodes take a while to get out onto your favourite podcast platforms, that is partly why. The place where you can always definitely listen to episodes is directly on the website, though.
See, that was a plug there.
Yeah. So that's everything. So, good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Get its weak point for massive damage.
Oh no,
I had to do it.